of the Holy Spirit on Stephen, we're taking up this passage of Stephen being appointed to the church. And, you know, it's about raising up of new leaders. So Rose's message about that, about coaching and mentoring new leaders and taking responsibility, is really very at the heart of this experience of Stephen's being appointed. So just these introductory comments, remembering we're talking about the book of Acts as they're going to the ends of the earth, and it's the mission of God that's being engaged in. The early church is going to reach a major new milestone in this passage in Acts chapter 6 and 7. The action shifts from the apostles to the new leadership that is arising out of the needs of the early community. There is an issue about the widows. This is a picture of the widows. They have to be taken care of. And what's happening is a tension because there are Hebrew-speaking parts of the church and Greek-speaking parts of the church, and they feel that the Hebrew-speaking widows are getting favored because most of the church at this point is Jewish, and the Greek-speaking widows are getting second-class treatment. They're getting suppressed. So they want that to be fair. So it's about a fairness thing. So the apostles, in this issue of the widow, I wrote this out. This is the widow name. This is the word in the Hebrew, almana. It's used many times in the Old Testament, and obviously appears here in the Greek. But, you know, I just use the Hebrew speaking to emphasize that they were being favored, and then they needed to sort that out. So they appointed deacons for the first time to take care of the practical matters. And I love this verse. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So they're appointing deacons to take care of practical matters, to be servants of the Lord, and help in the ministry of the church, freeing up the apostles to focus on their teaching ministry. They're going to be teaching and preaching the Word of God and the acts of Jesus and the experience that the church is having. And they know that teaching is really at the heart of the matter, which is why the Christian church is never apart from teaching and education. It's always been a big part of our work. And Stephen, then, is an anointed leader who excels in the deacon work and is a spiritual powerhouse. In fact, the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit and signs and wonders occurred wherever he went. He is arrested. This picture just showing how much the power of the Holy Spirit was upon Stephen. But he is arrested. He goes on trial. He defends his Christian faith admirably and reaps a martyr's death as a result. We are called, then, to also be diligent in the Lord's work, in what we are doing as a church. It's a follow-on. This passage about Stephen says the church should always enable new leaders to rise, coaching and the mentoring that Rose was talking about. And but we also need to be ourselves diligent in our work, as Stephen was. He was diligent in his work. And we want to ensure that ministry runs smoothly and runs well, that we are enabling and empowering people, that we are taking care of the things that need to be taken care of, that we are faithful and sound in our financial approach, that we are good caretakers of the property of the church, of the facility itself, which is a big job in itself, and that we are using our resources for the Lord's work. And we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit in what we do, just like Stephen, who is a great inspiration to us. Let us pray a moment. Dear Lord, thank you this morning hour that we can pause and spend a few moments in the book of Acts. Remember this life of Stephen, who appears briefly in the scriptures, preaches an eloquent sermon, but is then ultimately the first person we see martyred and stoned to death, in fact. So Lord, help us to continue to be inspired by his story and be strengthened by the events that surround his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the scripture here is Acts 6. I'm going to read the book of Acts, chapter of Acts 6, but I'm not going to read all of his sermon in 7. I'll summarize that, and then we'll go and read the last part where they become ready to stone him. So in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, so there's more and more people, that's a problem. You have to then have more ministry, you have more challenges, and then you have to have more leaders, more people who are equipped to help provide the work. The Hellenistic Jews, that's the Greek-speaking side, among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, Hebrew-speaking, Greek-speaking, but two cultures, two differences. The Hebrews are living in their own land in Jerusalem, and the Greek speakers are probably immigrants coming from outside. And they said that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So they were a church that was feeding, and you know the food thing. But many churches today have food pantries. Many churches are involved with food ministries. It's feeding the world. There are ministries. Big Christian ministries in places like based in Washington, D.C., but they span and they have work around the globe. Very important. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would be not right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility of the fair distribution of food over to them. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer is fundamental, and the ministry of the word, which is really what the church is all about. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. Those are names we forget, but they are also there, right among the 7. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. That's very important. Many of the priests who used to be serving at the temple find Jesus Christ and become Messianic Jews in a way, you know? Which happens today in many cases. There are many active evangelism going on among the Jewish people who are alive today. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene, that's Africa, and Alexandria's Africa, as well as the provinces of Cilicia, which is up, I believe, in the area of the Sicilian gates of Turkey, and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. He is on trial, and he is shining with the light of the Lord. And they, you know, they're saying, "Oh, you know, they're going to tear down the temple, and they don't like the law." But they say, "No, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. The law is what he's all about, and the temple will be destroyed anyways." So then we're going to pass over his sermon, but I'll summarize it. And then we come to this passage where he's going to be stoned. So then he says to the Jewish Sanhedrin, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. You have not obeyed it. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this against them, this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. So that is the story of Stephen. It's striking and it's powerful. He is involved in the mission of God. The church is growing rapidly. And at this point, there's even greater resistance as the kingdom of God is fighting against the kingdom of darkness and the power of Satan. Now, the apostles have driven the narrative of the book of Acts, of the story so far, to this point. Even though believers have featured in the nature of the church, their inclusion now in roles of new responsibility indicate growth and development. There's a handing over the baton. You said that, Rose, earlier. The handing over the baton from one generation to the next of leadership. That's what's happening. The apostles are handing over the baton of leadership and participation to a new set of leaders. They're raising up Stephen and the other six deacons, seven deacons in total. And we have deacons today. And I must tell you that all the deacons were there yesterday working hard, and our elders, all of them, our office bearers, very much a servant role, as they should. The church is growing, and that's good. There's a new level in participation of leadership. It comes about because of the growing in the body. Growth is good. God never intends things to stay static. In fact, we never want growth to stop. We want the harvest to continue and develop and be multiplied. We are growing leaders as a church. We need to be growing leaders. It's part of our responsibility and our task. It's what PIU is all about. It's what our own Sunday school is all about. It's what we do as we come together. We're trying to grow leaders, and we want the harvest to be continued. Don't give up. Keep trying to do good. In time, you'll reap a harvest. Galatians 6, verse 9. The harvest is at the heart of what is happening in the book of Acts. But there's a problem in the church. There's new tensions and conflicts. That's not fair. Beautiful picture of that whole idea. It's not fair. So then they speak up and they say, we've got to fix the problem. And so they have to come together and try to do this. This past week in our household, we're studying the book of James. And in the book of James, it says, in there, there's a verse that says, do not grumble against each other. And that's a very important lesson. Yes, there's always going to be some struggles, but what we're trying to do is not grumble against each other, but try to reach for a solution, for a resolution, for what is going to help us overcome the problems we have that we're facing. The Hellenistic Jews complained that their widows were getting second-class treatment. It's like complaining, this is my example now, Judy, forgive me. I'm using you. I'm dragging you in. But maybe we could tell you Maryland. It's like somebody from New York State. I'm from New York State. I was born in New York State. Complaining that people of Arizona are getting better class treatment than me and from New York. The two different groups. You know, just trying to use this as an example. It could be me complaining against Marilyn Vanderwide, who is right now in Arizona, in Tucson, in the snow. She's supposed to be there in the sun, but she got snow instead for a little bit. Probably sunny and nice now, but... So two groups are complaining against each other, and they feel like one's getting a better class treatment than the other. I don't want to throw Guam into the mix here. Guam, which is a territory, maybe we should be a state. I don't know, but that's another part of it. Two groups not feeling quite right about things. I have a little bit of problem in how the scriptures express this next problem. The apostles seem to say, like, we should be teaching and preaching. We shouldn't be doing this other work, you know. And it sounds like it's class, you know, and it does feel always like class, like the person who's got to run the vacuum cleaner or do the cleaning of the toilets, you know, is not as in the same position as the high and exalted professor, you know, who's got a PhD, upper class, lower class, and all that kind of thing. But I really don't think the scriptures are saying that. What they're saying is what is more important, what is less important. The most important work the apostles have to do is to express that Jesus is alive and risen. They are eyewitnesses of it, and they need to keep focused on that to keep the heart of the church going. And there are other works and jobs that the church needs to do. But it doesn't, what we do and what's the beauty of the church is that we're always saying no one should be climbing up. And in fact, you know, in the Protestant tradition, we've eliminated all bishops and archdeacons, you know. Because, you know, along in my career, I've been out of seminary many years ago. Maybe I should be an archbishop by now, you know, somebody who's really up there in the church. I don't get that position in the Christian Reformed Church. Pastor. We're all pastors. Doesn't matter how many years you've served, we're on the same level. And, you know, being out there and working with all bunch of good workers, cutting down the betel nut trees, wonderful job, you know, throwing all the stuff in the ravine. It's good. But there is this wonderful work of delivering the Word of God. I love preaching. And I love trying to apply the ancient text to the present day. And the question before all of us is, how do we become a bearer of the living Word of God? How do we keep that Word alive in what we do and say, and how, as we go forth from this place? How do we become a bearer of the living Word of God? And Betty, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're going to talk to us a little later. You're part of that, your translation work. Because that's what you were seeing from the island there. And as you went on in education, you decided, I'm going to try to translate the Bible into my people's language. And I've got to become a bearer of the living Word of God. I've got to live it out. I've got to begin to learn it. And it's got to be embodied in what I do and say. When the apostles found help, they did not just find anyone. They ensured that the seven men they chose were full of the Holy Spirit, that they have a heart for God, that they testify to the work of God in their lives. And the Holy Spirit is on them, is on Stephen, and he's on the other six who are chosen. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, so that he's profound, and he knows the history of the people of Israel. He knows the people he's talking to. He's not trying to make them angry. He's trying to speak the truth. And if the truth makes you angry, there's no apology needed. There's no apology needed, but he is anointed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And they all have a heart for God. And they have wisdom, that wisdom which is the quality that comes to humans who learn and grow, who listen and choose words carefully. So they're people who are ready to say, God is speaking. Let us be listening. God is speaking. Let us be listening. It's one of the major issues you have to solve. You know, we've heard of Billy Graham, except if you're in the younger generation, maybe you haven't. Billy Graham was a great evangelist. He filled stadiums full of people. We may have heard him preach. We may have gone back to listen to him preach. He's profound. He's powerful in what he does. But there was a moment in his career where somebody came to him and said, the Bible is not really the Word of God. Okay, he said, no, it's just another book. Let's put it there. It's just, you know, it's as good as, the novel Gone with the Wind or something like that. You know, it's just another book. And he had to wrestle. He went to the back of his house in his garden, and he put the Word of God on a stone, and he prayed to the Lord. Is this really your Word, Lord, or is it not? He had a moment of doubt. He had a moment of crisis. And what he came up from that saying is, it is. I will believe it. I will trust that it is God's Word, and I will listen to it. And I will speak from it. And he would always pray. He was a man of deep prayer. He always made sure that his crusades had a blanket of prayer going on among the churches before he ever stepped out to do anything. And because he was a man who was willing to say, God is speaking, and let us be listening. And that is who Stephen is. And I'm praying that all of us will be wise in what we do, whatever it is we're doing. That we may do it well and do it with as much skill and craft as you can. You know, yesterday when we were cutting down trees, we really let Peter take the lead. You know why? Anybody know why Peter was a lead with electric chainsaw? It worked very well, as well as the gas ones. He used to work in the forests of Germany. He was a German forest worker. So he knows trees and he knows how to cut them down. And Peter and Robin, he was teaching her, did a marvelous job cutting down trees. Just had one little incident, that's all. He was able to do it with skill and craft, as well as being a Bible translator. He's learned how to be a Bible translator, you know, learning how language works and how you express things and how you say things. Great admiration for that. Anybody who's an English major, I admire you. I never did, really, you know. I use words, and I speak it, but I don't really like the mechanics of grammar and all that stuff, you know. I get hung up on it. Not that I want to speak wrongly, but I don't really like it. Maybe you do. If you have a passion for it, more power to you. So these people are chosen. Their names are here. Again, Stephen. And then don't forget them. These names are important. They're in the Bible. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, who's a convert to Judaism. So here's a guy who was a pagan. He was not part of the Jewish community. But he liked what the Jews were teaching about a God who reveals himself, brings the commandments, a God of the Old Testament. So he converted to Judaism. And then somebody came to him and said, Jesus is the one who rose from the dead. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Nicholas from Antioch converted now to becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus. All these conversions down the road. Now we're going to focus on Stephen, who delivers this amazing sermon to the exalted Sanhedrin. He's a powerful character. But these others must have been also, because they were full of the Holy Spirit. They're all qualified. And when Stephen is stoned and put to death and goes, he disappears. There are six deacons left. So the seven ensures that the work of God will carry on. It'll have there's a lot of depth there in the chart, you know? I don't know, I'm a fan of football. The depth in the chart. You ever seen a quarterback go down in football? That's devastating for a football team because they've got this quarterback who, and then the guy steps in. Is he able to, you know, drive the football team down the field for a touchdown? And backups can, second string can. Sometimes he goes down, then they're on the third string. That's not easy. But you got to have a depth of bench. You know, you got to have somebody step in the role. And they did. Stephen was stopped by this raging crowd, a mob. They really became a mob. But there were six who carried on the work. There was so much. So God had built, he builds this resilient, strong structure that was able to go all the way around the world. And the feeling, I just want to get you into the feeling that of resentment that's going on a little bit. I don't know. Whenever you're in your native language, like for me, I'm English, native language. You know, you go on the phone and you get an answering service and they say, you know, in Spanish, they say, press 1 if you want Spanish. And you might get irritated at that, you know, because why do I have to even worry about Spanish, you know? But in America, I really don't resent it at all. But it could happen. It could happen. And that's what happened between these Hebrew speakers and Greek speakers. There's a bit of resentment that, you know, maybe we shouldn't have to worry about and fuss about this, but they did. And they chose Stephen, a very godly man, used in a mighty way. The Lord gave him a ministry, and the power of the Holy Spirit was flowing through him. He was a man who believed that God spoke into the present day. Stephen was a man who was full of God and full of the Lord. And he enabled, by being appointed, he enabled the apostles to go on with their teaching. This is a picture of him being stoned, of the crowd gathering around him. He's actually overpowering due to the Holy Spirit and wisdom in his debate. He's able to go head-to-head with these people, and they are not able to frustrate him in his teaching because he's very, very strong in his thought. But the opposition decide to hatch a plot. It sounds like the time of Jesus, and the time of Joseph, the time of Daniel in Babylon. You remember them? All of them had a plot hatched against them in which they were going to be brought down by somebody. Jesus by false witnesses, Joseph by his brothers sold into slavery, the time of Daniel in Babylon by people who were jealous of him and his faith in God, and now Stephen brought down, and they accuse him falsely and put him on trial. But Stephen, with his face like an angel, he's communing with the angels, and he's filled with the light of heaven, while the opposition seems possessed by an unclean spirit, by a demonic spirit, which is a spirit of destruction. And he says to them, "You have received the law, but the law will lead you to you have received the law. The law should lead you to Jesus Christ, but you have not obeyed it. You're not obeying God's will." Stephen is communing with heaven. He is stating the facts of what he sees. He sees heaven open. And he sees Jesus ruling and reigning with God the Father in the glory of God, on the throne of God, and the blessedness of God. And so they kill him with Saul's approval. Now what had appeared as a bright and shining day of God moving, building the church, expanding, illustrated through Stephen's life, becomes a day of darkness. It becomes a day of terrible persecution, begins to launch out, and all of the church gets scattered, and they're bringing oppression upon it. Now, it happens, this stoning of Stephen, because he enters into a profound retelling of the Old Testament progressive revelation. He talks about the history of the people of Israel, and he says that they were a people who believe and follow after Abraham. So he mentions Abraham in the story, Abraham receiving the promises, and Abraham having trusted in God and that being credited to him as righteousness. And then he goes on to talk about Joseph, how Joseph was brought to Egypt and he became a man who interpreted dreams. The power of the Holy Spirit was on him, and he was anointed and he became a great leader in Egypt. And he goes on to tell them about Moses. Moses, who said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." He was prepared by the wilderness. This is really a true picture of him, because he was there for 40 years as a shepherd, watching over the sheep. And all of these people predicted the revelation of Jesus Christ. Stephen is saying they're all predicting the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he launches into the most bitter words. He says, and he calls them stiff-necked, which means they're stubborn. You ever met a stiff-necked person? You sometimes find them along the way. But, and we may be ourselves, I don't know. But he's really saying to them, you've got to listen. You've got to listen to the Spirit. The Spirit is talking here. I'm trying to get the word to you. And they said, "But you've always persecuted the ones that God sends to you." Remember Jesus' story about the vineyard? He says the vineyard was rented, the man went away, and he sent his servants to collect the rent, and they beat the servants up, threw them out. They finally, the son gets sent, and the son is killed. And he's using this as an illustration of the people Stephen is preaching to. And he says, "You have the law, but your hearts are hard." And their reaction is really unspeakable. It's stoning of Stephen. But when it occurs, Stephen is carried on the wings of the Lord through this experience. Here we show him holding the church, becoming a caretaker of the church, and a man with a staff, and he's translated into heaven. He's filled with the vision of heaven in the persecution, and he has forgiveness in his heart. Stephen is truly free, but the people who are persecuting him are not. They are bound by an unclean spirit. And I love Stephen's story, and I've always resonated with it, especially because his special day in the church calendar is December 26th. That's my birthday. I should have been named Stephen, but I was named Frank. That's my mother's choice, mother and father's choice. I only discovered this because in Ireland, they're really Catholic, so they have a St. Stephen's Day after Christmas. St. Stephen's Day after Christmas. But I just love resonating with Stephen, the man of the Bible, the scriptural, the guy here. We look at this passage in Acts and remember this very important lesson. Know the reason for your faith. Stephen becomes the most eloquent witness to Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this, he's saying, this Holy Spirit is the thing which helps us keep the law that we're unable to keep. Now everything is laid bare, and they have to choose, are we going to serve darkness or are we going to serve light? And they choose to serve darkness, stoning him to death. But we are to learn from Stephen's story. And one of the things we have to learn is to be fair. Because that's what they're trying to, the problem they're trying to resolve. Be fair. Let us not be unfair, but be fair. In the way we treat everyone the same. No one gets a special advantage. No one gets a special seat in the house. And we try to be, but it's not easy to do. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need wisdom. And we need to be sure that our church affairs are run well. Let all things be done decently and in good order. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, it's a wonderful phrase. It says, let's do it well. Let's do it the best we can. And let's continue to pay attention to it and do what we're supposed to do. And we must trust in our spirit, in our ministry on the power of the Holy Spirit. We must trust him to be the spirit of wisdom and understanding who will lead us and guide us in what we do. And who will help us as we send out Rose to Vanuatu or the Quists who are in Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia. We're letting them be empowered to do what God is calling them to do. They are empowered for the mission of the church. We are empowered for the mission of the church. This is what the Holy Spirit is here for. May we all trust the Lord and go forth in his name. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you this hour that we have been able to gather and learn from the story of Stephen. And may the church be blessed in its ministry. May we be always devoted to you, Lord, following in your way. And help us to be empowered by the Spirit, be granted his wisdom and understanding in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.